Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Our message today will come from one verse of Scripture in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, that's speaking of our Lord, He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, the Apostle Paul said, Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Do you know that? That's what he said. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That doesn't just mean that it's a good idea, it's a better idea to preach the gospel than to not preach the gospel. That means judgment is coming to me if I don't preach the gospel. Any man who stands up to preach, if that man does not preach the gospel, judgment is coming to that man. That man will be judged in the sin of not preaching the gospel. The gospel. So as I preach, whether it's here on this program or anywhere else, this commandment rings loud and clear in my ears, in my mind, in my heart. Our Lord Himself said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Now I would like to do that right now. I'd like to do that. I want to preach the gospel to you. And I want to preach the gospel to myself. I need to hear the gospel just as much as anybody does. In order for me to do that, we need to ask this question. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? I want to know the answer to that question. I want you to know the answer to that question. I don't want us to just think we know the answer to that question. I want to know what is the gospel. People talk about the gospel. Religion talks about the gospel. What is the gospel? It's important that we find out. It's important that we know. And the reason is because the true gospel preached is a rare thing to find. It is truly a rare thing to find. And once we find out what the true gospel is, I believe you will see that to be the case. Most preachers stand up in pulpits and they preach on morality. Morality is not the gospel. Many men will stand up and preach on motivation. It's motivational speaking. Motivational speaking is not the gospel. Many men will stand up and preach to the intellect of the mind and science and history and such on and so forth. And none of those things are the gospel. That's not the gospel at all. Well, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? We're going to find out through the Scriptures. We're going to find out through the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the only thing that can be trusted. The Word of God, that's the only thing that can be trusted. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and this is something we need to really get a hold of. It does not matter what I think the gospel is. As you listen to me right now, I want you to know that it does not matter what I think the gospel is. It doesn't matter what any man thinks the gospel is. You say, well, he believes it's this and he believes it's that. And it does not matter what any man thinks the gospel is. Here's all that matters. What does God's Word say the gospel is? That's all that matters. That's what you can count on. That's what you can rest your soul on. We must preach what God's Word says we must preach. And God said through the Apostle Paul, this is what he said, preach the Word. We must preach whatever this Word tells us to preach. And this is what the Word says to preach. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Whatever the Word says concerning the gospel, preach that. Whatever it says the gospel is, preach that. That's what the gospel is. So, what is the gospel? Well, let's turn to the Word. Whatever this Word preaches, whatever these men were told by God to preach, that's the gospel. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 5. This is a favorite story of mine in Acts chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 17. It says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation." They were filled with envy. "And they laid their hands on the apostles, and they put them in the common prison." Do you know why they did that? It's because they were preaching the gospel. And the Pharisees didn't like it. The Sadducees didn't like it. The religious leaders didn't like it. That's odd, isn't it? It would be odd for religious leaders to not like the fact that the apostles were preaching the gospel. But they didn't, and they put them in prison for it. Verse 19 says, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.'" He brought them out of that prison and he said, "Go preach the gospel." "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught." What did they teach? The gospel. "But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." There was no one in there. "Now when the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow." They said, "Word's going to get out about this." "Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.'" They're over there preaching the gospel. "Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.'" Who is this man? Jesus Christ, the one they were preaching. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God high exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.'" They said, "He died, this one that you laid hands on and crucified and slayed. He died and he was buried with the sin of his people. The God of our fathers slew him and hanged him on a tree. You were the means, but God the Father is the one who did this." But he said, "That same God has highly exalted him, raised him up Why has God raised him up? If God slew him because he had sin on him, why did he raise him up? It's because the sin is gone. That's why. Verse 31, God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. They took counsel to slay the apostles because they told them the truth concerning Christ. Who he was, who killed him, what he did, who raised him from the grave. Verse 34, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He said, put them over there and let me talk to you for a minute. He said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutius, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. A man was in his own name going around preaching, and he got some followers, but it all came to nothing. Verse 37, and after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. It came to nothing. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. You fight against them, you're fighting against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they were beaten for preaching the gospel. They beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? If I am going to go, as our Lord said, or if I'm going to stay and preach the gospel, what must I preach? If I'm going to preach the gospel to you right now, what must I preach? Here's the answer. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the God. Did you know that Jesus Christ is the God? The Almighty God, the highest God. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The one who came is the very God of gods, the God himself. To preach Jesus Christ is to preach the man. God became a man. God made himself to be a man. To preach Jesus Christ is to preach his will. It's to preach his purpose. It's to preach his work. Not what we're going to do, but what he has done. What he purposed to do and did. It's to preach his accomplishment, that it's finished. It's to preach the hope that we have in him. It's all about him. The gospel is a person. If I'm going to preach the gospel, I'm going to preach a person. I'm not going to preach anything but this person. I'm going to preach who he is and what he has done for every sinner he was sent to do it for. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, what is it to preach Jesus Christ, to say we're going to preach Jesus Christ. What is it to preach the God-man? What is it to preach the will and the purpose and the work and the accomplishment and the hope? What is it to preach Christ, really? Is it just to say His name? Is that what it is? Just to say Jesus Christ every now and then? Is that what it is? Is it just in saying that He died on the cross? Well, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Everybody knows He died on the cross. But everybody does not preach the gospel. Everybody does not preach the person. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 17. It says in Acts 17, verse 1, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Out of the Scriptures. The Word of God. I have a Bible in front of me right here. I know you can't see it on your screen, but I have a Bible right here. And this is where all of our instruction must come from. This is what we preach. This is where the message is. It's not in any other book. It's not in any other opinion. It's not in any other man. It's in God's Word. Verse 2 says, "Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered." Do you see that? Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. Not just that He did, but that He must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Christ. That's what we preach about Him. That's the glorious news to sinners. Here it is right here. Here's the gospel. Let me preach the gospel to you right now. It's in this sentence right here. Christ had to suffer. Christ had to suffer. He had to suffer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to be nailed to that cross. That's not just a history lesson. He had to be nailed to that cross. God the Father said He must die on that tree. His death was not Him being a martyr for His cause. Well, He tried to raise up this great cause and they killed Him for it and made a martyr out of Him. That's not what it was. His death was not man having his way with Christ. Well, Christ was trying to promote good, but evil reigned and had his way with Him. No, sir, that's not what happened at all. His death was not a ceremonial thing that He just went through. He didn't just go through some motions to give His Father and give His people and give His law something visual to satisfy them. Well, we're going to go through this ceremonial motion, and that's not what it was at all. His death was not a legal transaction. Well, we just got to accomplish this legal transaction. Absolutely not. God the Father said He must needs suffer. And He must be hanged on a tree. And He must die. Now, why would God the Father say that? Why would God the Father say that? Why would God the Father actually, truly, physically forsake His Son? Why would He do that? Here's the reason why. It's because His Son was bearing our sin. His Son had the sin of His people on Him. It was laid on Him. It was pressed into Him. All of the sin of all of the people that the Father gave to Him was physically pressed into Him. Physically. He was physically marred more than any man. That's how physically. We wonder how physically did He bear our sins? Look at the suffering of the cross. Look at what He endured. He was marred more than any man. That means He physically bore the sin of His people. Our sin was physically removed from us. And because it was pressed into Him, and because He suffered for it, because He bled for it, He died for it, He put it all away, because of all that, it's gone. It's gone. Are you worried about your sin? Does it ever get to you that you're a sinner and you know you're a sinner? And you've tried to hide it from God and you've tried to hide it from other people and you try to hide it from your own conscience, but you can't? That prick, it's like a worm. Oh, my sin, my sin. Are you a sinner? Well, if God the Father laid that sin on Christ, it's gone. That's good news. The word gospel means good news. Good news. They're gone. They're gone. With them being gone, Christ had to be raised from the dead. You know, if we die outside of Christ, outside of the sacrifice of Christ, we will never be raised from the dead, and here's the reason why. We'll never be able to satisfy our sin debt. We'll never put away our sin debt to Him. But because Christ put our sin debt away, and because the sin is gone, He had to be raised up. And all of His people that He accomplished that for have to be raised up with Him. There's no sin to keep them down. All of their sin is taken away. All of it. From the cradle to the grave, all of it. Now that's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's not what I'm going to do for Him or what I'm going to do for my neighbor or what I'm going to do for myself. It's what He has done for His people on the cross of Calvary. It's how He saved His people from their sins. That's the good news that I am commanded to tell everybody. I'm commanded to. Christ had to suffer. Christ had to die, and He had to be raised again. Because He took our sin. If God the Father gave us to Him, He took our sin from us. He died bearing our sin for us, that He might be raised again with us. He did that, and it's finished. You know, every soul that Christ did that for, God's Holy Spirit will send faith to that soul and will cause that soul to believe it. That soul will believe Christ finished the work. He accomplished what He came to do. That soul will believe I'm secure in Him. God the Father chose me. Had He not chosen me, I would have never chosen Him because I'm a sinner. But He chose me and He laid my sin on His Son. And His Son paid my debt and set me free. And His Spirit has brought me faith to believe it. I bow to it. I rejoice in it. That's the gospel. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Men love to use, in their mind, wisdom of words. Big words, hard to understand words. They're trying to remove the offense of what actually happened on the cross. Trying to remove the offense of the fact that Christ had to die because I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. Had He not died, we would have died in our sin. That's offensive to the flesh. But Paul said, I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to remove the offense lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I'm not going to do that. If you take the physical substitution of Christ out of the message, you don't have the gospel anymore. If you don't have why He had to die, if you don't have the fact that He was made to be what we were, if you don't have the fact that He became us, He didn't show us the way, He is the way because He became us and caused us to become Him. Complete trading of places. If we don't see and we don't understand that God gave us exactly what we deserve, when He made us to be in the place of His Son. On that cross, God looked at us and punished us. He slew us. We didn't hold up. Our sin went before Him in judgment, and it didn't hold up. He forsook us in Christ. He slayed us in Christ. And because of that substitution now, God the Father looks at us and sees His Son, the perfection of His Son, in His people. And we are accepted in His place. Just as He was forsaken in our place, we are accepted in His place. As He was made guilty in our place, we're made innocent in His place. That's the only way a sinner can be just before God. That's the way. He's the way. He said, I'm the way. Now, Paul went on right here to say in verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We need to talk about other things. We need to get off of this subject. But he said, unto us which are saved, this is the power of God. This is the power of God. This is the only way that a sinner can be justified before God. It's to see the substitution of Christ for His people, and to believe on it and bow to it. Now, here's the question. Has God given us faith to see Christ? Has God given us faith to see Him to be our substitute? Has God given us a heart to cry out to Him for that mercy? Lord, even me, let Your substitution and let Your blessing be on me. Has God given us faith to see that He did indeed pay it all? He put it all away. He accomplished the work. There's nothing left for me to do. Has God given us faith to rejoice in it and thank God for Christ? If He has, God has revealed the gospel to us, and we will see that nothing else matters. There is only one thing needful, and that's the blood, that's the mercy, and that's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. May the Lord reveal it to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.